This is Cats Podcast, episode number 49. In today's episode, we're diving into the topic of rest, something I'm sure we all crave, at least from time to time, but that we often don't allow ourselves. I've invited my colleague Robin Kristen on because she has firsthand experience integrating rest into her life after going through a burnout. And she has made it part of her mission to help people heal by taking space and rest for themselves. Re-listening, I really enjoyed this episode. We're exploring rest in ways that might surprise you because rest is much more than just rest or recharging, but it's actually the space that allows us to tune into our bigger purpose, our life mission, and into that which we truly want. And it can be a gateway to more abundance in your life. Enjoy this episode, and if you like it, please share it with a friend or someone you know who could benefit from it. Welcome to the podcast, Robin. Super happy to have you here.
Thank you so much, Kat.
So Robin and I get to know each other in our 200-hour traditional Tantric Hatha Yoga training a few years ago. And yeah, it's so lovely to see people's journeys. And then if you really like what they're doing, to invite them on, right? And Robin is here today to talk about the topic of rest and her personal burnout story, as I feel that rest is something that so many of us need, maybe especially as women, but we don't really allow ourselves to rest properly. There are these old programs, you know, the way we were socialized, the way we grew up, that at least that's part of my story, you know, growing up and having this notion that if it's not a productive day, it's not a good day. And I've been working on that hard over the past years to unlearn that and to basically tell myself, or let's say recalibrate, how I measure the value of a day. And I'm just touching on that briefly. I had a beautiful conversation with Laura Plum the other day, and she phrased it so nicely. Like, she said, measuring our days in, for example, how many beautiful moments we have. And I think that's such a cool alternative to looking at our days from a productivity perspective. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little intro why I feel that rest is such an important topic. And since we're chatting about women's health here on my podcast, I wanted to have Robin on. And because Robin, she really helps people heal with what she does. So she teaches meditation and yoga, traditional tantric hatha yoga, yin yoga. But what she really does is she holds space for people on their healing journey. So for an introduction, feel free to say some words, where you are at, where you are holding that space for people. You have your beautiful studio and body close to London or in London. So introduce yourselves to the listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Kat. Exactly that. I've been really working on holding space for myself for the last few years, specifically through different ceremonies, and yoga practice has been a massive thing for me. And it's really, I try to share what it is that I'm moving through myself so that I can come from an embodied space, mm-hmm. and a place that actually has been an experience for me. So it's always, I'm really sharing what I feel and what I've moved through in my own way, because that makes sense for me and it feels true for me. So I'm basically relaying just information that I'm moving through and experiencing in my own way. And yeah, it started with yoga, and it's moved to more energy practices and mastery of energy and and a lot of therapy work and inner reflection, self-reflection, and this meeting internally, this ceremony with yourself and this space for yourself to drop inward and to really be held by not only yourself but by nature. That's a lot of what I really work with and work by.
That's beautiful. Being helped by nature. I love that.
Yeah, when you drop into it more, you really feel how much you're moving with a bigger current around you, and you can move with that current, or you can be drowned by that current if you're not acknowledging it. So yeah, it's made a
Yes.
lot of sense for me to move with it and to connect with it deeper in the seasons, in the moon cycles, and working in that rhythm.
Yeah, it makes so much sense, and I guess that that is also something that was kind of taken away from us, or that we didn't grow up with, or in the being aware of that there are these bigger cycles that can really guide us through life, and that it's not this 24/7 rhythm. That's also for women, not a good system, let's say it that way. Makes much more sense to move with the bigger rhythms, be that the seasons, or as you said, the moon cycle, or if we look at Yantra yoga, the time cycles, our personal time cycles.
Exactly. That's all of that has been such a big unlocking for me. The yantra has been amazing to really dig into that and to see specifically what energy frequency you're holding at that moment, and to be able to move in rhythm with a bigger, larger scale. It reflects a lot of astrology as well, which is almost like you're able to come out and view everything from a higher timeline, because you're not operating in that 24 cycle, 24 hour. And it's quite interesting because men actually operate in a 24 hour. Their hormones regulate every 24 hours, whereas women's are over a whole month. So it would make sense that we work in different time cycles, and we're not working in the same way as a 24/7 clock goes, but we're working in this bigger stretch of time. So yeah, timing has been a big thing as well, and that also plays into the way that I like to hold the space. Like for some people, they see that I'm holding a 2-hour ceremony for them, and they think, oh, 2 hours, it's a lot. But really, 2 hours is nothing to meet yourself and to go in and have time to slow down. Like we're so used to rushing everything, and to take 2 hours out of your entire day, year, week, month is nothing. It's such a small amount of time to really have that time for yourself. So yeah, timing is a big thing that we're pressured by, I think.
Absolutely. It was actually something that I wrote for the intro. I didn't mention it yet, but the feeling that time is short, that's at least something I have been and still are struggling with.
For me, time was always that, like when I was younger, our family is very like late, and we'd get to things rushed, and everything was that kind of like, oh, we're gonna be late, like always to the edge of time or things. And that was a cycle that was very, very prevalent in my childhood. And so we always grew up with this kind of rushed feeling. And for me to be able to use space and time in a different way that I can rest into and feel with, everything always happens at the right time. That's been a big thing for me. That's like a mindset shift that I've had to change myself, and really understanding that everything is playing out in divine timing and divine alignment has been something that's helped me to drop my nervous system down and calm down. And it's so true how much we live our life by time, and we think that I've not done enough in this set amount of time. I've not reached this certain goal in this amount of time. And it's like, but what are you measuring that by? And why are we placing our worth upon timing when there's a grander vision that's playing out that's way beyond what our fear-based thinking is driving us through? But actually, it's this bigger cog that we're part of. And I was having a conversation with a couple of friends the other day when we were saying how important it is to be within the process of the journey and to really savor and enjoy the process of going through every little moment spent and every situation that we move to. It's just like different moments that happen all the time. And if we're rushing, if we're moving through that, if we're trying to get to a certain time, then we're never really savoring and enjoying that present moment experience. And there's so much in being in that moment. And it's like a very kind of cliche phrase to like be in the moment and be present and to have that connection with enjoying the process. It feels a bit like whimsical and a bit fluffy. But actually, it's so true, and there's so much that's gifted to you in every single moment if you are able to slow down and be in it and not feel like, oh, this is lovely, this is great, but I've got to go and do that, or like, oh, I haven't finished that. It's like this allowing, and I think that's such a big movement that's happening at the moment, like this coming back, this reclamation of the feminine energy and coming back to feminine essence within ourselves, because we've all been brainwashed with this very patriarchal society and this go and consume and buy and make and like sell things. And that's the total opposite of what feminine is. And going through the process of my own journey of coming from practicing heavily vinyasa, which is very fast and you're moving through everything, and then feeling like, oh, this is feeling not good for me. Taking a step back and doing way more yin and really dropping into that yin space, and then going into the tantric hatha and being like, ah, oh, there's this lovely system and a blend of all of it. And I think it made me realize how important it is to have that reconnection with the feminine essence, because we have come so far away from it, but also allowing the balance of the two energies to play out for what they're meant to be. This is, I think, a big thing that I've been playing with over this like chunk of my life, the last maybe like 8 years or so, rebalancing and what is too pushing towards the masculine? Am I rushing am I too logical? And then how much is it? Am I just receiving what is here already and being in that open state, that passive state of enjoyment and being in that state of really receiving a pleasurable feeling in your body, like not feeling like you have to be doing something to feel like you've achieved something, or yep, I can feel good now. It's like, how can you feel good in the day-to-day, even when you don't have a massive to-do list? And yeah. It's a big topic.
It is. And I'm sure we're going to touch on that again a little later in the conversation, because I really hope to give the listeners maybe not solutions, but definitely inputs, like how can they shift their own perception of how they value a day or a moment.
Yes.
So, starting off with, but going into your personal burnout story. So tell us a little bit about that. How did that happen to you? And also, when was the moment that you realized, okay, I can't go on like this anymore?
Well, the moment that happened, I realized that I was in bed, like I could barely even move because my body was, there had nothing left in it. I had really bad shingles and completely depleted energy. I was laying in bed, I think it was about 6 weeks I was in bed for, to the point where, you know, when you're like, your back is hurting because it's been laying down, but I
Okay,
would
wow.
get out, go for a walk, because I was still in that mindset of no, I need to be doing something, I need to be moving, or I need to be achieving something. And I came out, walked down the road, literally not even 5 minutes, I was like, I've got to admit defeat and go back, I feel so bad. And then it clicked in my head, like, you cannot keep forcing yourself to be doing things. What is this aggression? What is this aggressiveness to be doing something or to achieve something? And I think for me, I'd like, as I said at the beginning, our family is always kind of like in that rushed state. Like there was always something we were rushing to, and there was that kind of hectic energy quite a lot of the time. Even though my parents are chill and like my family is quite a chill family, there was also this underlying kind of like physical bubbling feeling. And so I think I just carried that from childhood. And I'm a person that needs to pivot and shift and change. So that's within my energy as well. And I'd been trying loads of different jobs and kind of working my way through different places. And I'd moved out and I was living with my long-term boyfriend at the time, and things weren't going too good. We've been together like about 5 years or something like that. And it was just coming to kind of the tail end of everything. And interestingly, that was when I'd just done my first teacher training. So I really feel like when you're going through that process of a teacher training, it brings up a lot, especially when you first ever start doing training. It's getting you to meet yourself in such a deep way, and it basically is clearing anything out of your way that is not resonant because you're coming
Yes.
back to yourself. So all the stuff around you that is out of alignment is starting to crumble, and your nervous system is going, "What is going on? What is happening to me?" So I was in that process, and I think I didn't realize how disempowered I was, how anxious I was, how much my nervous system was really on edge. I was doing quite heavy lifting with a PT at the gym at the same time. And I was also at a job where I was doing marketing and photography. That was what I used to do before. And it was at a private school and it was really hectic. Schools are intense to work at. Like you need the breaks. I feel bad for teachers, but I understand their pain. But I was working in the office and the woman had she'd been off sick for quite a long time, and I was covering her work. And then there was some grievances going on with two of the major people that I work with, so I was kind of in the middle. And there was all these things happening all at the same time, a lot of like things to do with communication and really being in my truth and feeling like I had overstepped my boundaries. And again, it's this pushing, pushing, pushing. Okay, yeah, I can do that. Like I can do this as well. Da, 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 da. And there was really no time at all to rest. So when I had the shingles and I had the burnout, that was the moment that my body was like, okay, yeah, great, we can rest now. Thanks so much for pushing to that level.
It's so interesting. Can I quickly jump in here?
Of course.
I think we all have our things where our body tells us, okay, now it's really time. And for me, I would say oftentimes it's migraine. So
Yes.
it's like when I get it, I'm like, okay, something has stressed me. And all most of the time I know what it is. It's just a question if I have accepted it or admitted it to myself or not. But yeah, it's like I would say it's 90%. It's like a sign of my body saying like, okay, stop, rest now.
Yeah, exactly. Like the body just speaks in a language that we need to decipher, and sometimes we're so disconnected from our body that we don't understand what it's saying. It's like, why are you making me feel ill? Or why are you doing this to me? But it's like, hello, I'm trying to speak to you. Decipher it in that way. I think that's been a major thing for me, really understanding what emotions are. And again, it's that connection back to the feminine essence. Emotions are your feminine, intuitive essence. I'm really working with that language of dropping into feeling, sensation, listening. Oh, okay, there's a repeated thing that's happening here. Why do I keep having that happen? Yeah, I'm doing that. It's like we always have to kind of take that time to reflect. That's why reflection and self-inquiry is such a big part of what I offer, because if we don't reflect, if we don't take that time to be still, to be inwardly drawn, then how do we ever know what it is that's not serving us or it's not
Yeah.
working? You know, it's making us ill.
Yeah. To see those patterns, and for that, of course, you have to be still for a moment and reflect and look at your life. Definitely. It's such a good point. Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like when you think there's so many things that are wrong, or you're not happy with where you're at, or you're not happy with yourself, it's like, oh, I don't want to look at that. No, I'm not gonna look at that. And it's like, well, you're gonna have to look at it at some point because it's not going anywhere. So look at
Exactly.
it.
So, for you then, having this realization, all right, I have to rest, or it's not gonna go that way anymore. How did you shift things? Because oftentimes we have a realization and we know what we have to do, but the question then is, do we do it, or and do we know how to do it?
Yeah, that's a lot of the time that I have, like with clients, they say, I don't know what to do, or like, I don't know how to do this. So for me, I'd already been in the healing process, the wellness world, for probably about 6 years at the time. So I dug and delved into so much. Like, I'm quite an obsessive person, so I can really get into something. If something it attracts my attention, then I'm away with it. So I'd already built up some things that I knew was like my spiritual toolkit, or like I could fall back on. And I think because I was in such a depressed state, like I was very, very depleted of energy. I had nothing left, and I really felt like I was scraping the bottom of the barrel. It's like you've got to really dig into a better mindset, because your mind is what is carrying you to the next place, because your body has got nothing left to give. And I mean, I think mine was probably more of an extreme case than the majority of people will experience, like day to day. But that's kind of like the underlying thing. Your mind is what is giving you the capacity to move things forward. So if your mind is still focusing on either the past or something that has been done wrong to you, or you're in a kind of victim mindset, then you're not really going to go anywhere, because you're identifying with this victim mindset, which keeps you locked into that place. So for me, it was first off acknowledging, okay, what is my like responsibility here? What have I done to kind of put myself in this position? And what am I actually feeling? So I did a lot of journaling, and a lot of people I've worked with, they don't like journaling, or they think they don't like journaling, or they don't know where to begin with it. But really, I would just get a plain book of paper, nothing on it, and a pen, and I would just write. And at first it would be like, oh, I've woken up today and I've got this pain, I've got that pain, or like this happened yesterday. And it would just be like random chat. And then after you're like 3 pages deep, all this stuff starts coming out, and it's like, whoa, where did that even come from? Like, that's got nothing to do with what I'm feeling right now, but it is, because that's what is sat in your system, and it's draining your life force, draining your energy, because you're not looking at it. So for me, it was really looking at what are you holding in your mind, in your body, in your system, and then how can you implement restful, gentle, nurturing things back in, like you would a baby. If a baby's sick, if your child is ill, you want to look after it softly, and you want to make sure that it's being taken care of. And it's almost bringing yourself to your inner child to really acknowledge, what are you needing right now? Is it a certain movement? Is it a certain sound? Is it music? Is it a specific person? Is it a group of people that you need around you? Is it nature? Is it to talk about what has happened? Do you need to eat certain foods? So yeah, it's overwhelming when you're in that state, because you already feel overwhelmed. But it's just bringing it down to the basics, basically. How does my mind feel? Am I getting enough sunlight, enough water? Am I moving in the way that I can? Not forcing my body in any way, but the way that it needs to move right now. Am I rested? Have I had enough sleep? And am I eating correctly? Have I eaten things that are actually going to nourish my body back to center? So it's basically just basics.
Yeah, but it's so, I mean, oftentimes the basics are overlooked. We overcomplicate things, right? And the industry, our consumption society tells us that we have to use these advanced supplements or I don't know the superfoods, but actually, as you said, and I'm so happy that you touched on that point, going out into sunlight, not smearing your whole body with some toxic sunblocker and not putting on sunglasses, but actually being out in sunlight, letting your skin absorb some sun, that will really help your body heal itself. And I actually loved everything you said. You know, mindset is such a big one. But then also the journaling, asking yourself really, what did I do? What did I do? I mean, that's always the thing, right? We're responsible for where we're at. So usually it's not someone else's fault, it's our own fault.
And
And
I think sometimes we feel bad because we think, oh, I've done something wrong, but it's bringing that, again, that feminine essence back in to be like, yeah, it's okay, you're not a robot, like you do things to learn and grow, but if you're not willing to learn from that, then that's when the problem or the stickiness happens, because it's like you're not allowing yourself to move through it, but you get caught up in it, and then the victim or the blame, that side of things comes in. So I think that's a big part of taking responsibility for yourself, is really look at your part that you play, but in a gentle, compassionate way.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for bringing that in. Being honest with yourself, but at the same time having this compassion for yourself. And that's something that I try to bring in whenever I see where I, well, fall back, not really falling back, but where I take this a little step back in my healing process, and I'm falling back into an old pattern. I try to not beat myself up, but be like, okay, you're on a healing process. It's not like a one way up. It's like it goes in waves, and maybe the waves eventually they ebb down, right? They become smaller, but it's okay. So seeing it as a process, and yeah, and being compassionate with ourselves can really help, I think, because that helps us to not beat ourselves up and to not fall back into that old mindset, but actually move forward.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you're having an argument with yourself, you're not really healing that part, because it's still there's still that kind of pain there. But when you come into a softness, which is so difficult sometimes, like I see it with my mum, like I know that sometimes when I see my mum's in the same pattern, I'm like, oh, why are you doing that? Or like, do you not see that you're doing that? And she's like, that's not very nice, like the way you're saying that. And it's like, whoa, yeah, like why am I talking in such an angry way? Because I love her and I don't want her to be in that state. But actually, if you say, oh, like it's really sad when that happens, or like it's a shame that you're kind of moving into that space again, like what about if, and a softer approach, this it's got a completely different feeling to it. It's aggressive, pushing, that's not right, strict energy. We all have this. Or there's the soft, like crack your heart open feeling of, oh, like when you really think of yourself as your child, like your inner child, that soft little part of you, and you don't want to upset a child, you want to like lift it and bring it up. And if we speak to ourselves in that nurturing way, that motherly way, how much can be healed just through that alone, like the way that we speak internally, thoughts all the time, and we don't even acknowledge.
Yeah, definitely. I love that example that you brought up with your mom. So, out of curiosity, is this something that you're reacting to in a little bit maybe more aggressive way? Is that a pattern you're dealing yourself with?
Probably, yeah, I think so. Because you feel frustration when you've done something again, it's like, oh, why has that happened again? Or like, I've done that. But then it's like, oh yeah, because that's the wound that I have, and I need to keep tending to this for my entire life. Like I fully believe that we come in with core wounds, and there might be one specific one, or there might be a few deeper ones, and then there's the smaller layers of the wounds, but it's that's your core. So you're never gonna not have that. And although we think like we're coming away from those wounds, we're actually doing that kind of motion. And that's the wavy feeling. Like, oh, I've come back to that point again. Why have I come back to that point again? Because it's your core structure. That's a piece of you. It's not gone anywhere. Like, if you have a cut on your arm, that stays there. That doesn't just disappear out of your life and we forget about it, but it's the structure. And then I think because we forget that it's part of us, we get that
Yeah.
frustration.
I love that you say it that way, or that it is that way, because that helps you so much to accept it, right? And that helps you so much to be much more gentle and compassionate with yourself and not see it as failure when you're going back to that wound or falling back into a pattern, but see it as, yeah, okay, that's a part of myself and I can deal with that in a better way, but maybe it's not going completely away. It's part of me, and that makes it so much more easy to accept, I feel.
It's almost empowers you in a way to be like, yeah, that is me, and I do have that, which I could see it as a problem, or it could be seen as a gift. It depends which way you look at it. And I think also when we're dealing with our parents, their DNA or their ancestry has given us those wounds in a certain way. And the way that we were parented through their wounds is how we inflict our own in a way. So sometimes that triggering is the frustration or the aggression or the anger, because we see this the same being reflected back at us. And it's like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to have that same problem. But we really are denying that that's our DNA, that's been given, and there's no problem with it. But actually, when we look at it, like, but because we have that, we have this opportunity, and because we're dealing with that, the other side of it is this. And rather than going at it with an aggressiveness to delete it or remove it or get it out of the way, it's like, ah, if I love that and I really go into it and I meet it and I can expand through that, whoa, all that additional love that I can get, because that's almost like a hole that depletes or boosts your energy. I see it a little bit like that. So, yeah, it's just, again, mindset.
Yes, it's a very empowering way to look at it. It's so
I think
true. Sorry, you go.
I was just going to say, I think because I've done so much like digging into what has my ancestors been through and what are the core beliefs that I've got to work with, because it was getting to the point where I would feel really frustrated or really angry at myself, or I'd feel like, oh, for God's sake, like, why am I going back into this problem again? And then it was like one day I just thought, yeah, because that is you. So why would you not come back to that point in a certain dimension of yourself? And what is it? Why are you getting annoyed at yourself? Like, what's the real problem here?
That reminds me actually of so I gave as some of the people listening might know, I'm teaching Yantra Yoga. And in Yantra Yoga, we work with life energy. So we have a dominant life energy. And oftentimes, and I've included that in my workshops, and it's actually interesting to look at it because oftentimes we have something, maybe one thing, two, three resistances. Not necessarily bad habits, but resistances within our personality. And when you look at the characteristics of your life energy, of your Dhamma Marga, oftentimes you see that that's the flip side of a coin. So you can really turn it into something positive. So maybe you need more time than other people to integrate things. But well, what does that mean on the other side of the coin? Maybe it means that you are usually a super grounded, super stable, super dependable person because you have metta itself at your core. And looking at our resistances or at our core wounds, as you just said, from the other side can really be so helpful and empowering.
Yeah, definitely. I really do see it as that if we take the time to look at ourselves and to really nurture the process of being a human and to look at what is it that we could see as something that's bad or negative about ourselves and flip it, it really is like a gateway of extra energy that you don't realize
Yes.
you have access to. But
Yeah.
we're so in this world of 9 to 5, 24/7, then on the small amount of time that you have got off, you've got to do all these chores and then see the people that you love. It's like, where's there room for this? So this is why rest for me has been such a crucial part of what I offer for people, because when do you ever take time to rest? And no, looking at the television, reading a book is not rest.
Can I look at my
No, you
smartphone?
cannot,
So,
true.
what were you? I mean, we touched on it in a way when I asked about how you got yourself out of this burnout state, what you do to shift your mindset. So, resting strategies, what were your top three resting strategies or things that you still do to keep up a good level of rest?
So at that time, I really needed to get back into my body, and I was doing a lot of exercise, so I craved to move my body. So the most that I could do at the very beginning was yin yoga. So yin yoga for me was like that has such a strong place in my heart and in my like I really respect that practice. It's got so much to it, and you can really understand yourself from the meridian perspective, the mindfulness. There's so much within that. And it helped me to really heal and come back to a feeling of togetherness and a bit more rejuvenation. And yoga nidra was something that I practiced very, very regularly, and I continue to use when I kind of slip back into work and getting back into a faster pace rhythm again. That would be something that I really lent on. And it was something that I used before I went into the burnout, but it wasn't as appreciated, I don't think, for really the capacity of what it does for you. So yoga nidra is something that I did regularly. And also being in nature, even if it was just sitting in my garden, or I would try just get out and be in and around trees, or if I felt like I needed more of a cleansing, I would go near water. Like I try to really feel into what nature provided and how I could use it to support me, as in grounding, or like a trees are very cleansing, but in a different way. They clear like a static in your energy field. It feels like they pull you back down into the earth, and they give you that sense of your core back, whereas water I feel is more cleansing for the thoughts and the emotions. So it depends kind of what you need. And yeah, I would spend a lot of time in nature, and because I wasn't working, I felt like I could give myself that time to be there.
Yeah, that sounds very healthy and wise. I often wonder when people, for example, they switch from one job to the other and they go into the next job pretty much immediately. I'm always like, why? Why aren't you taking like 2 months, 3 months, even half a year off? I mean, when's the chance gonna come again? To, I don't know, to enjoy life. And as you said, to be out in nature or, yeah.
Adventure, explore, that's a big part for me. Like to be able to be in a landscape that gives you so much, that brings you a different perspective, it gives you a different mindset, you're in a different energy frequency of the land. And yeah, I always think that, like, why would you not give yourself the gift of space and time in between? But again, I think it's that mindset. Like if you panic because, oh, I need the money, I need to continue this rhythm of slavery because I've got all these things that I need to that I'm locked into. I'm locked into paying for this and paying for that, or supporting this, supporting that. And we're not ever taught this mindset of you are abundant by being yourself. Everything comes to you because you're a magnet. You are an electromagnetic being. Your frequency is emitting a magnetic charge, which pulls to you in divine timing the opportunities and things that you need to be experiencing. But because of this kind of warped materialism, we've come so far away from that, and then we think we need things, like you said, we think we need the most expensive this or the most brilliant superfood or this. And it's like one thing that I've learned in the past couple of years has really been to live content in a simplified life. And at first I felt like I used to say like a peasant. I used to have this like peasant mentality, like, oh, if you're not doing kind of more, you're not living a full experience, and you're living kind of just a basic life, that there's something bad about it, or there's something to be like to look down on yourself about. But actually having the abundance of time and space, peacefulness, a home that you enjoy living in, people around you that you feel completely lifted by, and activities, hobbies, a service, a job that you really love, and it fills you and lifts you. Like that is really, that's for me, makes so much more sense, and it gives you so much back because you're in a rested, calm, centered space, and you're not struggling to get the next thing or prove a point. And it took a bit of time to decondition that out of my mind, like, oh, that's like a basic way of living. But actually, it's so, if you can live like that, then you're rich. And then anything you get on top of that is like amazing. But at the core, if you have that, then you're truly abundant.
Yes, I think so too. I absolutely think so too. I don't know, this the simple life, it just makes us freer, and maybe also because we see what really matters. You know, it's not that shiny TV. I mean, well, TV, flat screen, whatever. Or the latest designer shelves. I don't see that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I can totally relate to it. And we could probably do another podcast on just the simple life, because that's also something that I realized with quitting my proper job, which is now, well, we have 2024, 14 years ago. And you know, with that also not having the steady income, but seeing that you actually don't have to consume so much, you don't have to buy so much. And as you said, what are we tied up in, right? What contracts do we have? What Netflix subscriptions, Amazon Prime, or whatever else is out there? I don't have it. I don't need it. I don't want it, to be honest. Because it's just, yeah, it's like these monthly costs that I don't want, because I can spend that money or use the time that I don't need to work to be able to pay for something like that. I can use that in a much cooler way, I find. Well.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And again, it's like when you have less that you need to have as an output, that brings so much rest into your nervous system, and it brings this feeling of peacefulness because you haven't got something ticking away in the back of your mind. I think that's a big thing that we have, like when we have so much stuff or so many things that we've got to have our minds on. And I know it's difficult if you've got kids and you have a family, and like there's everybody else's needs and wants and desires. Yeah, it's difficult and it's hard, and it can still be done, I think. And you might feel strict at the beginning, but ultimately you are giving yourself freedom, and you're giving yourself that feeling of deep rest in your being, because there's so much you can do that you don't have to struggle to receive. It's there already. You just go and do it.
Yeah, I love how you phrased that. You don't have to struggle to receive.
Yeah.
And I think when we embody just that sentence, like such a big part of the work is done. It's
Really?
having that knowing or embodying that, yeah, that will definitely help.
Yeah, it really does, because I think that's the problem. We feel like I need to work harder, I need to do this, I need to do that. And yeah, it's tough if you've already like got a load of debt, or if you've already put yourself in a position where you have got loads of outgoings and loads of things to be doing and loads of people around you to serve and be with. But there's always a way of reducing. And I think that's why the rest is so important, because it really, you get these downloads of information, like we're in that stillness and in that pause of clarity. I don't need that. I don't need that person. I don't need that thing. I don't need to be doing that anymore. It's like if we don't rest, we don't take that moment to just be still. If a river is constantly moving all the time, you can never really see what's at the bottom of it. But if you go and you see a lake and you can see to the bottom, it's like there's nothing that's been churned up because it's come to that still point. And it's the same as us. Like if you're constantly moving, seeing that person, then doing that thing, and then this is it's like, when do you ever get a moment to see if you're actually in alignment with where you should be and what you should be doing, and if that's relevant or necessary in your life to have? So the rest is so important in that sense as well, to help us evolve and progress and develop ourselves and to refine ourselves.
Yes. Rest in the form of having space and time and yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, I love that we're actually pivoting in that direction as well, because it makes this topic of rest so much bigger. And I also feel maybe not more important, but yeah, just more expansive.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I think a lot of people don't know even how to rest or are uncomfortable resting because it's so unfamiliar to our society.
Yes. And that's actually the perfect segue into my, yeah, basically into the last question. So you're working with a lot of women, also men, I think, but looking at your clients, do you see, and if so, what's the most common story or excuse, why they can't afford rest or why they are simply not resting? But also, what's most needed? What is there a common theme?
I think a lot of people are L living in London, there's a whole energy frequency here that when you come out of this space, you feel that the literal energy around you soften and come to a stillness. But there's so much movement here. It's when, because I lived in Spain for a while, and when I came back, I was just driving over the hill and you can start to see the city. And it was the weirdest feeling. I remember it so clearly. It was like this wave of overwhelming energy came over me. And I thought, oh no, that's that feeling again. And we're all caught up in that frequency of rushing and fast energy. There's always traffic, there's always people, there's so many social things to do, you've got endless opportunities. And I think it's just the mentality of how we have everything to our convenience. And then you get caught up in that cycle of oh, I need to see that person, or I need to go and do that, or I haven't finished doing that, and I've got to do my work. It's like this silent energy frequency that's here. That's how I feel it anyway. But a lot of people will say, for example, they can't fit it in within their day. They haven't got the time. But often people are exhausted, so they don't want to wake up earlier because they already feel like they're waking up early, and then they get home late. And it's this lack of devotion to yourself and lack of boundary in a certain I extent, because we overwork and we overgive and we overdo, and that's that ooh, frequency. And it's a very subconscious belief system that we need to be doing more, but also that we don't have time. I'm so busy, I'm so busy. That's such a common phrase that we use here. And we have this belief that we don't have the time. So I think when people feel like they're resting, they also have this kind of guilt, like, oh, I feel bad for resting, or like I feel really selfish, or I feel really self-indulgent. It's like, mate, if you don't rest, your body's going to make you rest at some point. So it's better to just put it into your schedule as part of what you do day to day. And then you don't get to the point that I did, like an idiot. And then you'll
But
feel good.
it's so true, this feeling of guilt, or maybe this feeling of being judged from the outside. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm lying on the couch. Oh my God. And I so had to laugh. I think it was Claudia Welsh who told this story. She was like lying on the couch, and then someone came in, and she was like, oh, like instantly grabbing a newspaper to pretend to be doing something. And I so had to laugh at this story, but yeah, it
It's so true though. And that's a big part of how I used to feel. I used to feel like I had to jump up and pretend I was doing something. When I was younger, I really, really did feel that. And every now and then it will creep in. And it's like, why do we do that? What is that? Who just made us feel that it's incorrect to rest the poor body that does absolutely everything for us, and our poor mind, which is even more bombarded because we've got phones and all that now. It's like, when do we actually get to rest? Oh, on holiday. Yes. I'll go and stay.
weeks a year, not more.
Literally. I'll spend all of my money on 2 weeks, go on holiday, and I'll do nothing. Okay, you can do that.
Yeah, it's so insane. Yeah, I hopefully the people listening who are maybe still a bit more in the standard structures are like, okay, I get it, something's not right here. Yeah.
And I really felt, for me, when I had the burnout and when I went through that stage, it was, for me, our boundaries are so crossed by work. And I think that's something that needs to change. And I really feel like the movement of self-employment and creating your own businesses is shifting that narrative. And that's why the space for this yin energy, this feminine energy, has come through, because there's so many of us that are able to now really, can you hear me here?
There's a little echo. I can hear you. Yeah.
There's a
Like,
helicopter going past. I'll just wait.
it's not, I can't really hear it. No, it's just that your voice sounded a bit funny.
There's this like resurgence of the feminine energy, because there is this space, because we've been able to manage our businesses in a way that feels right for us, and we've got the download. Yes, I need to create my own business and move in my own lane and not do what the 9 to 5 has told me, not do what this narrative has told me. And it's almost like these pioneers of change have come in to say, we need to move in a different speed, we need to move at a different rhythm, we need to reconnect with nature, we need to come back to ourselves and do what is right for us. And a lot of the time, quite a lot of my clients have said how they feel that they have to be a certain way, or they have to operate in a certain way because of their work. And it's like, yeah, we're so confined by the boundaries of work, and that doesn't ever look at wellness as a part of its core structure. My next mission, I've had this drop in a few times, is to really go into corporate and to help shift and change the wellness of companies. Because coming from a background that I was within that, and I understood the 9 to 5, and I understand the demands of work, but also, really, is it necessary to be working that length of a day? Like, is an 8 hour day really beneficial? Is stress really a good mindset to have? All of these things, yeah, it's a big, big topic that I want to dig into a little bit more and help to shift maybe a little bit of the archaic system that we have, especially in and around London. It's still got that buzz, that
All
frequency.
right, yeah.
So it's
Wow, that's an awesome mission. I love that.
it feels something deep in me that I need to move towards slowly, but it feels like it's calling me.
Yeah, wow. That's cool. That's really good. And I think that's I mean, there's so many levels where we can start to come in and shift things, but I think the corporate world or these crusted structures are really, it's so necessary to go in there and to break that open.
Yeah, like I've worked for NHS, I've worked for nurses, like doing classes and stuff like that for them, and it just makes you realize people's lives are insanely stressful and hectic, and we shouldn't be put within these cages where we have to go and work and the work is not supporting us. And it just, since COVID and all of that, like I've really taken rest to the next level. Like I've really gone into it more because my nervous system felt so frazzled coming through that. I felt really, yeah, disturbed by that whole block of time. And people have got all that stress that happened then, and then they've got to go back into something that's still stressful, and they don't have the grace of a slow entry back in. They've got to just go back to work. Like all the nurses and the doctors, my next door neighbor is a surgeon, and he's always working really, really long hours. And it's just this whole mindset shift needs to happen of your wellness is your wealth. And if you're not well, you cannot do anything. That was the main thing that came through for me when I had the shingles. It was like, you cannot do anything in this life if you do not take care of your body and your mind and your health. So that's kind of what drove me to doing this as my full-time work, and this is what I need to do to be in service. And I think I need to just expand now what I'm doing and reach more people.
Wow, that's so powerful, Robin. I love it.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. It is.
It's really nice to chat with you about it because it helps me to really see what it is that means something to me as well, and to really talk about something that is so prevalent for me, and so it's such a big part of my life. It's like my whole lifestyle is based around this. So it's really nice to share and talk.
So good. And I mean, I knew you a little bit before this conversation, right? But still, I just hearing you talk about it, I completely buy it because you have experienced it and you know so much about it and you talk about it so passionately. So yes, it's definitely your thing and yeah. Just so good. Just wanted to to reflect that back to you that you can really hear that you're passionate about that and that you know what you're talking about.
Thank you. That's nice. That's nice to know, because sometimes you're doing these things and you're thinking, does it make sense? Like, do people understand it? And I think the wellness world has definitely like come up to the surface a little bit more, but there's still people that are a bit like, it's all like fluffy woo-woo stuff. And it's like, it's really not. It's scientific. All the yoga structures that we work by is so scientific. It's like based on your nervous system, and it's based on your bodily construction, how your energy systems work. And just because you cannot see your vein doesn't mean that your vein is not there.
Yeah, no one would doubt that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But because you can't see an energy flow or a specific movement in how your energy is constructed, people think, oh no, it's a load of rubbish. But it's like, you can feel it though, when you
Yes.
actually are guided to the specific practice or way of doing something, you feel that change. And if you give yourself enough time and space to really go into it, you see change in your entire life. And that's what we should all be offered, like this feeling of wellness and rest, like at our nervous system being in its center, not feeling dissociated or disconnected or numb or extremely heightened. It's, yeah, we deserve and we should be given the space to feel well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for all of this. Where so I'll put your website and your Instagram and also the link to your newsletter in the show notes, but feel free to tell the listeners a bit more about your offers. Are you offering, well, only in person, or are you also offering online?
So I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but on the 7th and the 15th of September, I've got 2 day retreats that they're in person, so it's basically a whole day of yoga and different practices that draw you back in. And the main theme of focus is going to be on digestion and assimilation. So really going into the spleen, the stomach, Samana Vayu, understanding how we can take the year, because we're coming towards the end of summer, to process and to shed, to release anything that we don't need, and to eat some nice food and just be together with people that are on the same path. And
That sounds amazing.
yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's really nice to do the day retreats. It's lovely to feel the depth of a full day immersed in it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm just changing my in-person classes, so I'll have a slight different timetable at my studio in Body. So it'd be Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And I wanted to bring something a little bit more fluid in on a Friday. So I've added in a freestyle class, which is going to be more of a you turn. I'm going to let people know because everyone was a little bit worried. What I'm going to make
You have to impro dance,
them
yeah, all
do.
them.
Sometimes, yes. So it's more of like an intuitive class, and I get people to do maybe some reflective practices or some free movement. I'm bringing in some more sound work and stuff like that as well. So that's launching in September. And then next year, I'm planning to do more of an online offering. So that's in the pipeline, and I'll talk more on that when I've got a little bit more info to give.
Yeah.
But online is coming, and it's definitely something that I've been wanting to put together for a long while to support in a deeper way, and in a way that is longer lasting, so that you've got toolkits, you've got information. Where we did our teacher training online, I still go back and watch all those videos and use those notes, and that's something that's going to support me forever now. So I really felt that was a big thing for me that I got a lot from, and I want to give that back as well, something more online. So yeah.
Beautiful.
Kat, thank you so much. It's been so lovely to chat with you and see you, and I really appreciate your time, and just to be able to have a platform to chat about this. It's really brings so much lightness to me, so I really appreciate
Thank you. I'm super happy to hear that. Yeah,
it.
it was a pleasure having you on, and who knows, maybe you come on for another one
Yeah, that'd be
in the
lovely.
near future.
Sure, we've got loads
Thanks.
to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh,
Thanks so
thank you
much.
so much.
Thanks so much for listening. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode, that you got some good wisdom out of it. Whatever it was, if there were any aha moments for you, anything that was particularly helpful, please let us know. Leave us a comment over on Instagram where I'll be posting some snippets of this conversation, or send us a message. We're really happy to hear from you. And well, now enjoy your day or your evening, and I'll hope to see you on the next one.